we finished up Nehemiah last week, and we remembered that Nehemiah, when he came back to Jerusalem, that it was an upheaval. And he brought back a national revival. He brought back a presence of God's word being preached in the streets, but he also brought back a personal purity. And so one of the things I thought we would do is look at how we can be pure. Do a small little session of personal purity. Let us pursue purity. When I say personal purity, everyone thinks, oh man, we're going to be talking about marriage. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But there is a lot that deals with purity. Today's going to be different. We're not going to be doing a Bible study chapter by chapter, verse by verse today. So you will be in and out of your Bible. Pages will be ruffling. Dust will be flying in the air. So here we go. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And God desires that we'd have this pure relationship with him. Nothing veiling, no impurities. Most of the time I wear a gold ring, but you can't see the impurities in my gold ring. They're there, but you can't see them. The only way to see those impurities is to heat it up and melt it. But what happens is under heat and under pressure, those impurities rise to the surface. And in our life, most of the times, the impurities that in our lives that happen during times of crisis, during times of stress, during those heated moments. And we recognize, oh, that's right. I am human. I do have these tendencies. And so what we're going to be looking at is how we can be pure. The word for pure, it comes in two different ways here. One is it means to be clean, and the other means morally clean, spiritually clean. And the other word, it means to be sacred, to be set apart, almost like hagios, almost like sanctified, to be sacredly clean. I'm going to read Psalm 19 to you for a minute. And Psalm 19, 7 through 9 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Both clean and pure. I love how Psalm 119 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. There's something about the word that has this exfoliating process of just removing the dirt in our life. We'll be looking at purity, both physical purity and spiritual purity, because there's only one mediator between God and man, because that there's only one propitiation or one sacrifice suitable for man. To really pursue purity, one must pursue Jesus. Pursuing purity is pursuing Christ, and to deviate from that really would be to pursue filthiness of the flesh, to be pursuing impurity. And so it's a person. The purity is Christ, and that's kind of what we'll be looking at. Paul tells us in both 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians to cleanse out the old leaven. Now, if you're here today and you're a new believer or an old believer or just a believer, Paul encourages to clean out the old leaven. You're a new creation. Clean out the old things in your life that were part of the dead days. And he also says in 2 Corinthians 7, let's cleanse ourselves from all unfilthiness of the flesh. And so we have this call to purity. The Lord wants us to continue to check ourselves. Check ourselves. How are we doing? I'm going to read another portion out of Haggai, and it's one of my favorites. I really like it because it brings things into perspective. It says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said to them, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. See, the works of the flesh can never make one holy or sacred or clean. The works, the deeds of the flesh will only make you unclean. And if we're unclean, it says the works and the offerings that we even bring are unclean. Do you see the importance of being clean before the Lord? Do you see the importance of having a pure heart and a pure conscience? And so we'll be looking at what does it take to be clean and how do we get there? Jesus says it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The Spirit does the work. I can't do the work. I'm unclean as it is. And so we're going to be looking at some of these impurities in our life and kind of maybe adjust them, look at them in a way that maybe we haven't seen them before. Next week, we'll be looking at the how-to. This week, we're going to be just simply looking at some impurities. And like I said, like the gold ring, the impurities rise to the surface when we get in a heated conversation, in times of trouble. And I would just take those as opportunities for us to recognize them and then turn back to the Lord. The word tells us that it's our own affections and our own desires that lead us into temptations. You see, it's within you. It's not the society that you live in. I mean, sure, those things are out there, but it's already within you. We already have those tendencies that draw us away. And so we need to allow ourselves to have new desires. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of his heart, of your heart. And he changes our desires to his desires as we start to delight ourselves. I was just sharing with someone recently, change your desires, change your habit, change your diet. You know, we talk about New Year's resolutions and dieting and exercising. Change your spiritual diet and get up in the morning and start reading. I think I was sharing with some of you the other day that I have a new Bible that I'm doing my morning devotions in. It's a different translation, and it's just exciting to read it. I would never have purchased this, but someone gave it to me, and I figured, well, you know, I'll give it a shot. I love getting up in the morning and reading. It's just, I always get up and read, but this translation just brightens it up. And it's like putting a little bit of salsa on your eggs. You know, it's a little bit of pizzazz. It's great. And so we're going to be looking today at Galatians chapter 5. So that will be the text that we'll be in, looking at the works and the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh will profit us nothing, but they're here and we find ourselves stumbling over them. And he says here in Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 16, I say then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and I've kind of broken these down, and the first two is going to be adultery and fornication, sexual sin. When we talk about purity, pursuing purity, those are coming, the first two that jump into mind is this purity of our body. Adultery is sexual sin within a marriage, and fornication is, I used to just say, well, fornication is sexual sin outside of a marriage, but the word's porneia, and the word means any sexual sin. And he says the deeds of the flesh, and he nails this, that they're contrary to the Spirit. And porneia, if you think of the word pornography, it's pictures by definition of sexual sin. You'll never see wholesome intimacy. It'll always be some weird perversion, and it's out there. I mean, people are sitting going, I can't believe Pastor Dave's talking about sexual sin. Someone should have talked to King David about that. King David had six wives before the Bathsheba event even happened. Yeah, he had a lot of wives. And of the three things that you're not supposed to be as a king, you're not supposed to gather for yourself horses. You weren't supposed to gather for yourself gold, and you weren't supposed to gather for yourself wives. These were three things that the Lord said that kings are not to do. And David had many wives, and that was when he was in Hebron. When he went to Jerusalem, the word said he got more wives and more concubines. His son outdid him. His son had over 600 wives and over 300 concubines. It's a lot of headaches. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's been said that marriage is a mystery, and multiple wives is a bigger mystery. I couldn't handle it. But at any rate, he had six wives, and this adultery brought in deception and murder, the death of a child and a broken family. We read great things about King David, but one of the things that we really read about is he had a difficult time raising his family, a very difficult time being a dad, a father. And a lot of it started with this whole thing with the women. And sexual sin is real. Another great guy that we look at is Samson, another man that could not control himself. I call him the he-man with the she problems. But, you know, both David and Samson are in the Hall of Faith. If you read it in Hebrews, they're both mentioned there. These are great men of God. And here's the question is they accomplished wonderful tasks, wonderful, lived great lives, did great things. How much more could they have done had they kept their self-control in check? And I ask myself the same thing. What could God have done if my life was different, or my future, if I stay on course? The same with you. Stay on course. The next thing we look at here is uncleanness and lewdness. And this is connected to adultery and fornication because both of these are talking about immorality. The word for lewdness literally means unbridled lust. The coarse jesting, the joking, the lack of self-control. And you know, those things really stain a man or a woman's mental, emotional part of their life. And God wants us to be clean. He wants us to be pure. He doesn't want us to struggle with these things. You know, Samson, we kind of laugh at where he was at in his life, but truly he was a great man. And he gave it all away for the lust of the flesh. And so many Christians, time after time, we read about pastors failing, falling. But it's not just the pastors. We just happen to be the guy with the microphone. There's a lot of people in the congregation who struggle in the same area, whether it's in their thought life or it's actually physically happening. And Jesus said what? If you've thought about it, then you're guilty, aren't we? Job recognize this, and Job said, I make a covenant with my eyes. I just choose to look the other direction. I can remember being in India, and we were walking, and there was so much idolatry, there were idols and all kinds of things. Well, one day we're walking, and my brother said, eyes left. And so we all turned to the left, and what am I looking at? And he says, it's what you weren't looking at on your right. And apparently there was something. And we all, none of us looked at it. And he was just trying to preserve us. Because when it goes in, it's in. Joseph, I love Joseph. I mean, he was the man that when temptation came at him day after day after day, he ran so fast he left his coat behind. A friend of mine had a sermon called Run, Stupid, Run. I mean, when the enemy is at your door, and the word says that sin is crouching like a predator at your door. It's there. Are we prepared for that? Are we ready for that? The Lord wants us to be ready, and he wants us really to be pursuing him. Paul goes on to tell us in Romans that to take every thought captive. That thought comes, Lord, help me. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me of that and move on. Moving on. Playing out those images, those thoughts, is just the same as doing them. And so we have the uncleanness and the lewdness are very much associated with adultery and fornication. We may not ever touch anybody, but we can play that film in our mind over and over and over again. And we become tainted. I mean, that's the whole thing with Samson. Do you remember when Delilah finally cut his hair, that it said they poked out his eyes? They bound him with fetters. Then he was a grinder at the millstone. And the analogy is that sin blinds. Sin blinds you to the fact that what you're doing is going to hurt you. Sin binds you. Jesus said, anyone who sins is a slave to that sin. And finally, sin grinds, and it grinds you down till there's no more victory in your life anymore. And so many Christians fall in this area because they allow the thinking to happen. I call it stinking thinking, you know, and purge yourself of that. And it's like it's like this water thing here. It's filled up, and the only way to fill it up anymore is to dump out what's in it. And we have to dump out those thoughts, dump out that lifestyle that God can fill it with Himself. Paul says in Galatians that idolatry and sorcery are also a problem. It's a blemish, an impurity. Well, everything can be an idol. You know, anything that we lift up before the Lord can be an idol. But he's talking really about spiritual rebellion against the Lord, about a blatant attack on the sovereignty of God. I mentioned Solomon earlier. He's one of the guys in all of his wisdom that committed great acts of idolatry. 600 wives, 300 concubines, and after a while, you know, one of his wives said, you know what, you're always worshiping Yahweh. Would you build one Asherah pole? I mean, come on, for crying out loud. Just a little one. Do it in the courtyard so nobody sees it, over in the back. And then how about an altar for Moloch? And it says here that he built an altar for all of his wives. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, started building. Why? Because of his wives. Just as Samson was broken down because she continued to say, don't you love me? Don't you care? Don't you love me? You know, it's not a negative thing toward women. It was really what it was is Samson and Solomon weren't able to say no. I'm not going to defile myself. No, I'm not going to do it. And so here we have in 1 Kings chapter 11, if you want to read that later on, we see that he sacrificed to all the gods. Not only did he build those altars, but he sacrificed to those gods. The Lord was displeased with him. Did you know that most of the book of Ecclesiastes is written from a backslidden state? That's why he says it's all vanity. Life is just vanity. There's no value to it. It's a bubble. It's all filled with air. It's not until the end of Ecclesiastes when he says that the principal thing is to love the Lord. He finally got back on track. But most of Ecclesiastes, he's in a backslidden space. He's been sacrificing to Moloch. He's been sacrificing to these different gods. It's a horrible thing. The psalmist says that the idols of the nations are made of silver and gold. They're a work of their hands. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have mouths. They do not speak. They have ears, and they do not hear. And so are those who trust in them. And we become like that which we worship. We put a lot of stock in our worship on Sunday morning. You know, we ask the worship leaders, you know, make sure that you don't do anything new on Sunday. That's my rule. If you ask anything, that's my number one rule. Don't make me a guinea pig, you know. Don't do anything new because I don't want anything to interfere the people to come to the Lord and worship. To allow us just to come and bring a sacrifice of praise. I want to encourage you guys, you know, as we're worshiping, applaud the Lord in between songs. If the Lord moves you, say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Clap your hands. Shout for joy because we become like that what we worship. Attached to idolatry and sorcery, I've put in here drunkenness and revelries because the word sorcery, the word literally is pharmakia, as most of you know. And pharmakia, it's witchcraft, but it's really drug taking. And alcohol falls right in there. Did you know the root word for alcohol? We call it spirits, right? Yeah. Well, the word, the Arabic word is, those of you that speak Arabic, I've got this online, but from a good source. So if I don't pronounce it right, forgive me, but I've got al-kul, which means a body-eating spirit. That's what it literally means. That's where the English term for ghoul comes from. So that's what we're ingesting when we're drinking. We're asking for a spirit to come into our life. When guys pass out or do things they would never do on their own, many will tell you that's because there's a spirit within there. There's a spirit attached to that. Paul knew this. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be in excess in that which will hurt you, but be in excess of that, allow it to run over. In the Greek, it's be being filled, overflowing with him, that your cup would run over and over again. Idolatry, whether it's worshiping an idol or it's ingesting a drug or allowing alcohol to take over your life. We lived with a man from, I think I was 6 to 9 years old, who is a horrible alcoholic. And there's a few things in my life that I can't tolerate, and that's one of them. I can't. And it's because I've seen the worst in people because of it. So let's not be filled with alcohol. Let's not allow any room for the enemy. Do you want to be pure? I mean, he says that even our offerings and our work is unclean when we come with unclean hands. I mean, could you imagine going to a restaurant and fine dining, and you're all there, and you look out, and there's the cook, and he's handling trash. And then he picks up your food and slices it and plates it for you. And yet that's what our worship is when we view those things, when we ingest those things. That's what we're presenting to the Lord. Gives you a whole different perspective, doesn't it? And you say, Pastor Dave, I would never do those things. I've never drunk. I've never been drunk. I don't do any of that stuff. Well, hang on. We'll get to you. The next three things here is hatred, contentious, and jealousies. You know, the wisdom from above is first pure, but the wisdom from below is earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. And this hatred, contentious, and these jealousies, this is not just a worldly, but it's a wordy sin. And what I'm talking about, it speaks of a driving unease. This word hatred is the word enmity and hostility. Contentious here is variance or grinding strife. I love these definitions. It's very vivid, isn't it? This, and the word jealousy isn't the jealousy like, you know, I'm jealous of this guy looking at my wife, or I'm jealous of time with my kids. The word is zealous, which we get a word zealot or zealous. And it means literally to defend anything. And I look at these three, the hatred, this driving uneasiness, this strife, this contention, and this defending anything. And I see it today in social media. God bless you. In social media, I see people just barking up every tree, defending everything. And I'm not just saying all social media is bad. I mean, hey, we're live streaming on Facebook right now. But what I am saying is, you know what? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when there's this hatred, this hostility, this anger that never really leaves, and this defending everything. I mean, some people will just take a stand on anything, just almost, I would think, to be heard. Paul reminds us in Corinthians that though we speak with many languages, whether it's the language of man or the language of angels, and yet we have not love, we're a noise. We're a noise. And trying to defend everything and this anger and this spirit of contentiousness, really, it's noise. Nothing like just turning things off and having peace and quiet. James kind of chides those who, he says, you know what, with the same mouth we curse and we bless. We got to be careful about that. You know, let's be careful with the words that we use. Proverbs 10:19 says, in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And sometimes I have to just check myself, man, am I just carrying on? Because if I am, inadvertently, I'm going to say something I shouldn't. And I got to be careful. And I have to be careful on you know, how things are coming out and coming across. Here we see the next set of impurities. You know, we talked about hatred and contentious and jealousies, but now we see wrath and selfish ambition, dissension and heresies, oh my. Wrath is that driving anger. And I call these four pride. Easy way to label it, pride. And you might say, how is wrath under pride? Well, when I was in my 20s, I was rededicating my life to the Lord, and I had this tendency to always be angry. It's one of my sins. I underneath the surface is always. I'm trying to be more of a peaceful man, but it's there, and it's almost like that thing that the Lord allows me to keep me humble. But I'm not as spiritual as you think that I am. And I asked the Lord to free me of that. I said, Lord, would you take care of my anger problem? Would you rid me of my anger problem? And do what He said. You don't have an anger problem. You have a pride problem. He said, you're allowing this emotion to manipulate others. You're allowing the emotion to come out and to dictate the situation, to push people away, and you are controlling. It's all about you and the anger. Isn't that how it is? I can push people away by being mad and furrowing my eyebrows. If you cut me off and I'm driving, my eyebrows can come out of my car and slap you in the head and keep on driving. And it's pride. Selfish ambition. Selfish ambition is quarrelsome. It's putting self first at the cost of others. I saw selfish ambition at, they call it the greatest place on earth, the funnest place on earth, Disneyland. Happiest. Man, sorry, I was only there a few times. So with Danya's feet, sometimes we'll get her a wheelchair and push her around. And the first day wasn't so bad, but after, as Friday was approaching, it got crowded and crowded, and the herd mentality came across. Have you ever been in an area where you have the herd mentality? And people won't look at you, and they'll cut right in front of you. And I've got a wheelchair, and you would think that they would honor the wheelchair. No. No, they're mad at you for being in their way. And this selfish ambition is to place myself above you. And it's so easy to do that, isn't it? It's so easy to put my needs in front of your needs. And that's one of the impurities that the Lord is allowing as we would take the gold ring and burn it to scrape off the impurities. The Lord allows those situations for that to come out for us to go, oh yeah, I am selfish. I am more of a sinner than I want to be, than I admit to be. And this selfish ambition is so easy. The next is dissensions. It's divisions or sedition. It's inciting discontent or rebellion. You hear a lot of that on social media too. Inciting discontent. Actually, companies spend billions of dollars to keep you at discontent so you'd buy the latest product. They make things now with a shelf life, you know, and after a while these don't work anymore. Or they're not as shiny. They don't have the latest whistle. And I'm not, you know, I'm reading this from my tablet here. So I'm just as guilty as anybody else, you know. It's ministry, man. This is for ministry, okay? And we could spiritualize anything, but we have to be careful. This division, this sedition is really to break people away. Of the things the Lord hates, I don't want to fall in the things that he hates, but of the things that he hates, one of them is discord amongst the brethren. Discord. Did you see? Did you know? Those whisperings. Titus says, reject a divisive man. Just check it. Hey. If I'm counseling someone and they bring up someone else's name, do it my first thing that comes out of my mouth, just so that you all know, in case we're talking. I'll say, can I quote you on that? Can I quote you on that? Well, I would prefer that you didn't. Well, then let's change the subject. Because if I can't quote you on that, then what we're doing is gossiping. And you know what? It's really easy. Man, it's so easy to gossip. And what we do is we tear down the dignity and the character of the other person without even hearing their side. So we need to be careful about these dissensions, these divisions. And the next one here of this another impurity that keeps us unholy, impure, is heresies. And literally it means to take captive or choosing a diversity of opinions. And all of these either push people away to elevate self or pull people to us to self. And this is the way of the enemy. You just these four, the wrath, the selfish ambition, dissension, and heresies is the way of the enemy. Pulling people away, drawing them away. Do I remind you that a third of heaven fell when Satan was cast out? Now we're talking about beings that saw the Lord face to face, were drawn away because of the selfish ambition and the dissensions and the heresies. And if they were drawn away, that have seen the Lord, how easy for us who we already have, we live in a broken state, spiritual state. It's easy for us to fall into that. That much more we need to allow the water of the word to cleanse us. That much more we need to really be careful how we express our opinions on things. Be careful when someone asks your opinion. Pride wants to, of course you'd come and ask me. I'm the expert. But I wouldn't do it like whatchamacallit did. Oh, have you seen this? Be so careful. I have to be careful. I'm reading these things. I was taking notes all week and it's like, all I see is myself. This is just, we all fall into this. And so since we all fall into this, together let us pursue purity. I mean, just think of it for a minute. When you think of a pursuit vehicle, what do you think of? A car, a cop car. Now, are they driving a jalopy? What is normally a pursuit vehicle look like? Is it a slow car? It doesn't look like that. Don't look. A charger? A fast car, huh? It has the intention to capture, doesn't it? Isn't that the idea? So when we pursue purity, it's not like, I'm working on it, Pastor. I'm praying about that one. No, he says, pursue it with the intention of apprehending Jesus. Pursue it. Go for it. Paul would say, run to win. Don't you know that when we run a race, only one man runs? Everyone runs, but only one man wins the prize. He says, you run in such a way. I was joking with a friend of mine. He said, I'm going to beat you there. Just joking. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to beat you. And it was just this kind of friendly banter. But the Lord wants us to run to win. Not at the expense of pushing somebody else down. Really to elevating them up. The more I look at pride, the more I start looking at this thing here. It's envy and murder is the next thing too we have here. In verse 21, envy and murders. Interesting words that they chose to use. I mean, you can use different words for envy, but the word he chose is, it's hard to pronounce, phthonos. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Phthonos. P-H-T-H. O-N-O-S, phthonos. You guys are good. You got it. Now the word for murder, phthonos. the TH is still in the, and so in the envy, the only thing holding you back is that one little TH. There's not much difference between that envy and murder. Thanos or phanos. Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother without cause, you're guilty of murder. That word envy is an interesting word. It reminds me of Ephesians 4. In that section of scripture, where it talks about do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Then he lists some things that grieve the Spirit. And it all has to do with people interacting with other people. And he says there's bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking. And here's the word, malice. Malice and envy are like two peas in a pod. They both mean ill will, but it's malignity. You see, this envy, this malice is cancer. Cancer is the only cell in the body that really only feeds for itself. Everything else, any other organism is all about taking care of everybody else. There's unity and harmony in the body, but not so with cancer. If it's going to be, it's up to me, he would say. And you see, this type of envy is all about me. It has the desire to injure. You see, that word envy says, I'm not just mad at you, but I want to hurt you. Hurt your reputation, hurt your family, hurt you. That's why it's so close to murder. It kills the relationship. Thanos. And murder, well, that's an easy one, to take one's life. The next pair aren't even in here in Galatians, but since I was looking at different forms of pride, I looked at greed and covetousness. Greed and covetousness. Spending a lifetime of accumulating stuff and more stuff. I've talked to you a lot about my real dad who got saved 6 months ago. He's still working things out. He's walking and falling and stumbling. But the man was a hoarder. Has anyone ever experienced a hoarder? Anyone have a hoarder in your family? Is anybody a hoarder? We're having a garage sale next week and. And what is it with us, you know? You never know when I might need this screw with this special head on it, you know? I'm telling you, God gifted us. When we moved down here, we rented a moving truck, and he gifted us with the truck being a third of the way already full of someone else's stuff. I said, I can't fit all my garbage in there. The Lord's like, yeah, I know. Leave it. Leave it. And there's something about traveling light that's just nice. You know, there's something nice about when you get to the airport and you just got carry-on. Isn't that nice? Something about, and I think life needs to be the same way. Traveling light, because really it's about pride, about me having stuff. That's what we call it, keeping up with the... Sorry, Eric, where are you? Wanting more of what you already have enough of. Wanting more of what you already have enough of. You've got 100 screwdrivers. You don't need another one. Unless it's a different translation of God's word, then it's perfectly okay to have over 100. That's okay if it's for ministry. I'm joking. But do you see how it's we can justify anything, can't we? The problem is it's a lack of trusting the Lord. When we have all that stuff, I don't trust that the Lord is enough. I was going over Psalm 23 with the kids last Wednesday, and we've been watching a video series. I love it. This guy's in Israel, and he takes him to a site, and he talks about the city, and then he brings in the Bible story and always has a faith principle. And we're going over the 23rd Psalm, and I watched it beforehand, and I took some notes, and I had questions for the kids, and we watched it. And one of the things he said is, you know the portion where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, the guy says, you know, he's from the Midwest. He's always envisioned green pastures of waist-high fields of alfalfa. And as he was standing in the wilderness, the desert of Judah, God bless you, he said, this is the green pastures. And it's this barren land with just a few tufts of greenery out there. And he says, it's a mouthful, but it's enough for today. See, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because he makes me lie down. He leads me to where I need to be. And I have to trust him. I don't need every screwdriver in the drawer. I don't need every shirt at the secondhand store. I don't, because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because I have enough. And I don't need to covet my brother, his stuff. I don't need to be greedy. Man, there's nothing like watching YouTube, you know, on Black Friday and watch all those fights go out, you know, for a doll, you know, for stuff. I love Jim Elliot's quote. He is no fool to lose what he cannot keep, to attain what he cannot lose. Isn't that great? This stuff is all going to burn in the end. It really is. I think that one of the reasons God has placed us in the land of plenty is that we would help those without. That we would be, I'm blessed to be able to look back and just see a dozen different organizations that we help sponsor. I mean, we don't give a lot, but we give. And that's just something that Lighthouse has done and what we will continue to do. It's being able to give. One of the biggest impurities that we can find in our lives, and in every one of us will find ourselves this, and it's in the area of unforgiveness. In this area of holding a grudge against someone, and that is probably one of the darkest stains, because it's the exact opposite of the character of God. When Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. Show me your glory. God took him up on a rock, and it's the old, you can't handle the truth, and he covers him up. And as he would walk out to present himself, he just allowed him only to see the afterglow of himself. I love that. And he announces himself, and he says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and here it is, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Do you see the character of God? Forgiving. And when we hold a grudge against somebody else, really, that's when bitterness starts to come in. And we've said the definition of bitterness is to sit there and drink poison waiting for the other guy to die. We're the one who suffers. It's the unforgiveness is the chain that binds us to a life of depression, a life of all these things, wrath and murder, these selfish ambitions, why it all can really find itself at unforgiveness. We don't have time to not forgive. Life's too short. It's too late after someone is gone to ask them to forgive you. It's too late. I love Hebrews where it says, today, if you will hear the Lord, do not harden your heart. Jokingly, from time to say, time to time, I'll say, hey, grab your phone, scroll your contacts, and reach out to one of them. Do it. You probably already know who you're angry with. You already know that individual who you just, you know what? You don't even say the name anymore. There's been times when I would drive the long way home just to avoid somebody. Years ago. Not here in the beautiful state of California. It's so opposite of the character of our Lord. Jesus said that if we don't forgive, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. It's so important to him that we can't have a relationship if you're not going to forgive. I don't even want this relationship, really, if you can't forgive. That's who I am. Peter talks about God's forgiveness when in Acts 3, as he's talking to all these men, he said, repent and turn to God that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When we forgive, the times of refreshing come on us as he wipes that stuff away, no longer holding that against us. Refreshing. Forgiving. Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. The Lord desires to forgive, desire to remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, and he wants us to have that same type of forgiveness. I mean, to just not even hold that against them anymore. So much so that in 1 John he says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And here's the word, to cleanse, that whole pursuing purity, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all those impurities, when we just simply come and say, Lord, would you forgive me? I have sinned. I've held this against someone. I have not been forgiving. I need to forgive them. I need you to forgive me. Would you cleanse me? Allow the times of refreshing to come. Brings me back here in closing to Haggai chapter 2. The works of the flesh does not make anyone holy. You can't work yourself into cleanliness. If you could, Jesus died for nothing. You can't save yourself. You can't clean yourself. We're called to purity, but how do we do it? It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Today we looked at impurities. We looked at these areas in our life that are like contaminants. A lot of times when I don't really understand a word, I look at its synonyms, but I also look at its antonyms, what it's not. And today we looked at all those impurities of what Christ wants us not to partake in. Next week we're going to be looking at the to-dos, the how-tos. We've been called to purity, and God wants us to walk in a way that's really pursuing Christ and put it on his characteristics. Because as we put on his characteristics, those other things just naturally fall away. You might be, you know, listening today, whether on Facebook or maybe you're here for the first time. You know what? If you haven't experienced that forgiveness that we were talking about earlier from Jesus, know that it's readily available. He's ready to run and to wrap his arms around you. I mean, God always takes the first move. For God so loved that he gave. He's a giving God. Love is the very nature and character of God, and forgiveness is just a part of that, is a part of that love. And he wants to forgive you. We're going to pray, and then Robert and the team's going to come up and close us in a song. And if the Lord's been just, you know, I'm sure the Lord's been talking to your heart about some of these items here. And I would just ask that you guys would simply be saying, Lord, forgive me. Help me to be forgiving. If you've been carrying burdens, lay them down. Next week, we're gonna look at the happy part of pursuing purity. Look at all the great aspects of who Jesus is and who I am in Christ. Man, it's going to be great. It is great. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you love us enough to identify those things that for some reason we hang on to. We pack along. We carry these burdens that we don't need to. We don't need to be angry anymore. We don't need to be full of wrath or coveting. We don't need to be unforgiving. We get to be like Christ. We get to be washed by the water of the Word. As the Word said earlier, as we were reading, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Getting to know you and letting your word within us that we'd bear fruit. This is a great day, Lord. You've identified the enemy. We see that we are it. It's within us. Would you change our heart, Lord? Would you change those things that we desire, that we would run hard after you and not after stuff, not be against our brother, not be enslaved to things, but free and pure. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord loves you and He desires to cleanse you. Let's stand up and worship the Lord.